transactions. This is a briefing, a public hearing, and a decision.
I'll turn them off. Thank you very much, Chairman, Commissioners, Director, and Deputy. My name is Julie Sandberg, and I'm the Real Estate Services Manager for the agency. Today, I have five transactions to bring before you. But before I get started, I'd like to walk through the process the agency goes through to determine whether or not we would bring a transaction, whether it be an acquisition or a donation, before this commission. The decision to make that acquisition begins with all the strategic planning that the agency goes through, all the habitat and conservation planning that goes on, the species plans, et cetera. That's the scoping and need. Those plans guide where the decision is made for priority acquisitions into the future. We then enter into our Lands 2020 process, which is an annual activity where we reach out to the regions and ask them to be prepared to discuss properties they might want to acquire in the next year or so. It's a lengthy process, but it begins with the agency evaluating and analyzing what properties might be available from a willing landowner, how they best meet with our scoping and need, all of the planning documents and our strategic priorities. In the fall of the year is usually when we make that call out to the regions for those lists of properties. That evaluation is continued with a technical review committee internally to determine again if they meet the agency priorities and why the agency wants to acquire land versus put a conservation easement on the property, or why some other entity wouldn't be a better owner for that property if it is going to be sold. The Lands 2020 process also goes through a public viewing where we post these properties on the website for public comment, bring them for you for review, and then we move forward and determine what's the best fund source for the properties. There are federal grants, there are state grants, there are a number of reasons why certain properties are a better fit for one grant or another, whether it's a recreation property or a habitat property. Once we've applied for grants, which is again a very lengthy process, involves many, many staff from the regions into the headquarters, we apply for grants, we get scored, evaluated. And if those grants are funded, then the real work starts on the land transaction. We return back to the landowner to ensure that they are still committed to this exchange of property. We get a letter of intent from them, and that basically is the authorization for us to spend money and do an appraisal. Most of our funding sources require both an appraisal and an appraisal review. We then are able to go back to the landowner and make an offer, do our negotiations, and if it results in a purchase and sale agreement, we're able to come before the commission and present the acquisition. The first property I have to present today is in Snoqualmie Wildlife Area, Snohomish County. This is a property in Ebi Island. It's part of a larger restoration project. We're very excited to have this very small transaction come forward because of the location. Ebi Island is surrounded by sloughs and bodies of water just directly east of the town of Everett. The red strips on this map indicate strips of old railroad right-of-way as well as some property that is more intact, if you will. We currently have a lease with the property owner in this area for a trail lease to get to the property to provide access for waterfowl hunting and wildlife viewing. However, these other railroad rights-of-way were off-limits to us, even though we own the property in that yellow color. So this small 18-acre acquisition is a real positive contribution for the hunting in that area, as well as improved access for the agency. The second group of transactions, there are three. We refer to them as the Sunnyside properties. These are small properties in Yakima County. They're along the Yakima River. They are considered in-holding, not true in-holdings, edge holdings, if you will, to our current wildlife area. Sunnyside Wildlife Area, as you can see, is some different fragmented pieces of property. The three that we're considering acquiring, we've been in discussions with the landowners for several years. They're very small properties. They're in the floodplain of the Yakima River. The first property is 27 acres, nearly 28 acres. It's the McDonald property. Again, it's in between two sections of our wildlife area. It provides access for waterfowl hunting, and all three of these properties together will provide leverage for us to get additional federal and state funding for restoration activity in the area. The appraised value of this 28-acre property is $36,400, and the estimated payment to Yakima County for pilt for this acreage is $128 per year. The second property is the Grow property. It's the larger of the three, 41 acres. And it sits right in a nice bend of the river. The appraised value, $65,000. And again, the pilt payment to the county, $194 per year. Sandhill cranes frequent the area. The third of the properties is the Kroll property, small one again, 9 acres, but sits right adjacent to the river, provides great access. The appraised value, $16,000, and the pilt payment would be about $43 per year. The last transaction that I have to bring to you today is located in Jefferson County. It's a renewal of a long-term lease. This renewal would be for 10 years. And it's for a 12 by 13 foot footprint. It's located on Daybob Bay. As you're driving up Hood Canal, you see 101 on your left. And Port Townsend is just up to the north. So this is the entrance to Daybob Bay. The property that we currently own is known as the Point Whitney Shellfish Lab. It has a number of buildings on site. We have a shellfish laboratory. We have a lot of outbuildings. We provide shellfish harvesting for public access and boating. And you can't really see it, but in the trees is this little 12 by 13 foot structure that the Navy has leased from us for the last 50 years. Originally from the Department of Fisheries, they installed this small structure that encloses navigational equipment and has a beacon light on top. This is a very deep water body, and there's a lot of submarine activity. So it's really nice to have this beacon that shines when there's underwater activity to warn the recreational boaters they don't want to be out there. So for public safety reasons, this is a no-cost lease.
Surface.
That completes our land transactions, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Julie. You always do such a great job of laying this out. And I think going through the process up front is, each time is very helpful.
Thank you.
Any commission?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. My question is related to the Yakima purchases, and I know it's, you know, in terms of acreage, it's small, relatively speaking, compared to the other acquisitions that have come before us. But are there any maintenance costs associated with the properties in Yakima? And if maybe you presented it and I missed it.
I'm going to go back to kind of the layout of all three properties. So as you can see, our wildlife area is kind of fragmented, and there's some travel time involved in moving between the properties. The maintenance costs we typically call out at approximately $13 per acre statewide. It's very much a mathematical average. We updated our calculation a year ago based on current land ownership at the time, staffing costs, goods and services, et cetera, and it boiled down to about $13 per acre. course, that average can be absorbed on a little 9-acre property. So the additional M&O for something like this is fairly minimal. Again, these are properties that may take some restoration, but the purchase will help leverage additional grants, and we have a number of partners in this area, including Yakima Basin Integrated Plan partners and funding that's available. The maintenance wasn't called out here because it would be minimal because of that reason, but most of the other purchases you'll see, I try to call out what estimated maintenance would be.
I understand they're minimal, but a lot of purchases, minimal purchases, adds up. And so, I mean, I say this, I think this is a concern. Heard a lot of testimony from the public concerned about maintenance and the costs and lack of. I have concern too, and I understand the concerns of the folks here, but my concern is also, you know, the department is strapped for money, and there are other programs that other folks in the state, hatcheries come to mind too, and particularly hatcheries that are funded with general funds. And so I always want to have that in the back of, it's always in the back of my mind, I hope it's in the back of other commissioners' mind, is that we have finite resources. If we can get money for maintenance from grants or whatever, that's great. But when it comes out of the general fund, everybody pays that, and we need to, I think, as a commission, need to prioritize. Okay, I mean, is this more important than a hatchery that that folks depend on? So, I guess not so much a question, but maybe a general comment. So, thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Hey, there is no public input on this item, so. This is a decision, so I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve the acceptance of these items.
Motion's made. We have a second. Seconded. Any further discussion? No further discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.